My name is Elizabeth Harper. I'm actually with ASSO now, the Association for State and Territorial Health Officials, and this is a systematic review of state and local boards of health. My financial disclosure, this was my dissertation work, so I definitely don't have anything to disclose. So a brief history about state and local boards. I'm sure this audience is really familiar, but just to quickly go over the history of boards. Boards were first created in the 1800s to be accountable for infectious disease and do quarantines. These were really kind of our first health departments in a way. And following that, a National Board of Health was created to coordinate that effort. Moving way into the future to the 1988 Institute of Medicine report, when that came out, it really was a call to action for an examination of local and state governance. That report recommended that every state have a state board of health and that we really need to look and dig into the law and find out what are the structures and functions of boards and how are they contributing to the public health system. Following that report in 1993, NALBO was created, the National Association of Local Boards of Health, and a few years back they created, or they tried to do a couple profiles and gather data on local board of health members. And I can talk about that a little bit later. And then finally, a couple years ago, North Carolina passed a law to allow local boards of health to be abolished and to be replaced by their county commissioners, which I'll get into the research on boards, but that was a controversial move. And it looks like board of health research is lacking. And if decisions are going to be made about boards and local governance, there needs to be an evidence base. So that was the motivation to do this project and include it in my dissertation work. So again, the purpose of this study, I have four main questions that I want to ask. And the first is, what are the structures, functions, and organizations of local and state boards over time? How have they changed? My second one, how do boards influence the performance, partnerships, and financing of local and state health departments? My third question was, how do local boards of health affects policy? Fourth, how do local boards of health influence population health outcomes? So these are kind of the four categories of literature that I was already aware of, and this is the information that I wanted to gather. Methods, I'll just be brief. I'm sure everyone in the room is familiar with PRISMA guidelines. I tried to follow that as closely as I could. This is a really small field of research, so I tried to adopt the PRISMA guidelines wherever I could. My sample strategy, the databases that I used for this project, I searched EBSCO's version of Medline, Web of Knowledge, Business Source Complete, and Google Scholar. I also did a search through the bibliographies and did some hand searching of known resources that I already was aware of. And this was not restricted by year or peer review. Again, this is a really small scope of work that I was looking at, so I wanted to be more inclusive rather than less. So getting into my inclusion criteria, again, it was purposefully kept broad for sensitivity. I looked at local and state boards, and if any article or resource that I found could address one of those four questions or looked at economics, health outcomes, policy, or service provision. This is starting to get into my results. When I initially ran the MeSH terms and the in-text content, I found a total of about 2,400 articles. After those were examined for duplicates, whether they were in or out of the United States or just irrelevant, they drastically started decreasing. I did a snowball search within the bibliographies and found four additional articles, and then my final sample contained 35 articles. Getting into my analytic strategy, my searches were conducted from September to October of 2013. All the articles were collected in an EndNote library. Again, I did conduct that snowball search on the final sample of articles. I created a survey using Redcap software. It's just like SurveyMonkey or Qualtrics. And I created a survey so that myself and my coder on this project, so we could both go through and answer the survey about each one of the articles. So it asked, what is the theme of this? What kind of study is this? What are the methods of the project? So her and I went and completed a survey for every one of the articles. So again, I captured things like theme, study design, methods, data, sampling, validity, etc. All of the articles were duplicate coded just to make sure that what we were collecting and capturing was accurate and consistent between the two of us. And if there were any agreements we met, talked about, we either came to an agreement or had a third party come in and say, no, this is a longitudinal study, or whatever the disagreement might have been. Getting into my results, so this is really a breakdown of my mesh terms, what was entered in all of my search criteria, and how many articles popped for each one of the sources. So you can see that local boards of health came up much more in the academic settings rather than Google Scholar. State boards of health were much more prevalent in Google Scholar because each one of our state health departments has a website, so that kind of information kept popping up that was irrelevant. So I had a lot of things to go through and ended up just with those 35 final articles. This is a table of the thematic analysis of articles that were included in the systematic review. So most of the articles examined local boards. Only 5 of them examined state boards. Several of them examined board authority and power. Other things were activities and duties, board composition, law, policy. And you can see the table. So this table gets into the study design and methods of all the articles included in the systematic review. You can see that most of these studies were cross-sectional, and that's just because of a lack of data on this topic. 21 were inferential, 12 were descriptive. For data collection and methods, non-probability sampling was most often used. Most of these studies used ASSO or NATO data, which are census data sources. Some use primary and secondary data collection as well. For analytic methods, most often descriptive statistics were used. Again, limitations of the study were that there just weren't a lot of data in order to do multivariate or more advanced analysis. So now we get into the meat, kind of the good stuff of the project. And these are the answers to the questions that I posed at the beginning of this presentation. So the first, again, question was identifying the structures, functions, and organizations of local and state boards of health. And 12 articles examined this particular topic. One addressed the National Board of Health and how that was created. But the most current and contemporary articles found that boards of health in our nation are most often appointed. They're also most often composed of health professionals, which is an interesting point. Few boards stipulate that you have a consumer or a lay person, just a community member on your board. And as we know, that's important to have that representation. So I think that is really lacking in the state law. And a lot of those articles highlighted that most often boards of health are composed of MDs and maybe not even public health professionals. So that was a really interesting finding. Also, the presence of state boards of health have drastically decreased over time. Every state used to have a state board, and now it's down to about half of that. And then also, these articles highlighted that several of the boards had some kind of policymaking authority or discretion in that function. So then my second question, how do boards influence the performance, partnerships, and financing of local and state health departments? 16 articles address this question. 8 examined activities and performance. So in this category, there were positive and negative findings, but overall there were positive findings. So these studies found that when you have a board, your local or state health department is going to perform in a much more effective way in terms of the 10 essential services, the 3 core functions, and then 2 other articles examined emergency preparedness and succession planning. So it's interesting that when you do have a board, these activities and functions are enhanced. 3 articles examined financial implications, and those all had positive findings. So when you do have a local board of health, your local health department is either bringing in more revenue or has greater expenditures. However they were measuring it, there were positive financial implications. 5 articles examined partnerships, and if I remember correctly, 4 of the studies had positive findings, and for one, there was just no evidence of impact. I don't think they were looking at a wide enough study sample. But for academic partnerships, There was a study about North Carolina local health departments and others that looked at managed care. And in each one of these situations, having the presence of a local board of health enhanced the partnership. The group did better in whatever measures they were using for the study, but the presence of the board had a positive impact there as well. Moving on to question three, how do local boards of health affect policy? This I was surprised that this was an area that was lacking. I only was able to identify three articles, and they all examined either smoke-free or clean air policies, and the states where these studies were conducted were in Massachusetts, Kentucky, and then there was one kind of national descriptive study that highlighted the importance of a local board of health presence in getting smoke-free and clean air policies through. So while these studies also had positive implications, I think there's so much more that should be out there about how board presence can influence policy. So I think these are just studies that haven't been conducted yet. To answer my fourth question, how do local boards of health influence population health outcomes? Which that's a huge question, and that's a really far distance to travel from local boards to health outcomes. But these four studies were able to do that. The first looked at preventable deaths in cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, and infant mortality. And Dr. Glenn Mays conducted this study in 2011. And he was able to identify that the presence of a local board of health was correlated with the increased spending of local health departments, and that increased spending decreased the preventable deaths of these health outcomes, which is a really interesting finding and highlights the importance of boards. Another study conducted by Kostich and colleagues in 2012 looked at morbidity and mortality measures, and she found that there was a 4-year per 100,000 person decrease in premature mortality for those jurisdictions or municipalities that had a local board of health representing their health department. So discussion, there was a huge surge, I would say, in data and studies pre and post the 1988 IOM report. So that was a call to action, and there were studies. Again, NALBO has since been created, but there's still a lot that needs to be done. There's also a drastic difference between direct and indirect examination of boards. So when a study just focused on local boards, they didn't go past descriptive statistics or case studies, whereas the studies that I just mentioned by Kostich and Dr. Mays, they just included it as kind of a covariate and were able to do much more. So there are ways methodologically to answer these questions, which brings me to my next point, that there's not only are there gaps in research, but there are gaps in study design and methodology. So while there isn't a lot of data, it's more important to have a robust study design and methods. So again, to highlight the gaps in research, State Board of Health research is really lacking. Like I said, I was only able to identify 5 articles, and they briefly touched on state boards. So I think what exactly they do and how they impact the public health system is really unknown. I think more studies need to focus on how boards can influence and affect public health policy. That's a great way, we're always saying, go to our politicians, talk about, what you can do to influence policy, and we have this structure in place. It just is a question of whether or not it's being utilized. So, and another recommendation would be to, again, further examine what exactly local and state boards do. These are volunteers, we need to be using them, but we need to identify what exactly they're doing, what skills they have. So in terms of research, I already discussed having more robust study designs. I haven't mentioned this yet, but in the studies that I identified, theory was lacking. There wasn't a theoretical basis for quite a few of the studies that I mentioned, and having that study design and theoretical background is important before you conduct any study. So I'll get off my soapbox. And then also just to have more data. Data is lacking on local boards of health. There has been a survey here and there, but there hasn't been any other national survey effort to date. So limitations, whenever you do a systematic review or any environmental scan like this, there's going to be publication bias. I'm sure there's information that didn't make it into the published or online literature that exists that I wasn't aware of. the sensitivity of my inclusion criteria, I'm sure somehow I could have made it even more broad to find other articles. And then the other limitation was this was not a meta-analysis. I didn't gather all the data from all these articles and re-examine it. So that would have been another step that I could do to make this project more robust. Quick acknowledgments. This was my dissertation work. So my dissertation committee was Dr. Douglas Sketchfield, who's sitting in the back, Dr. Glenn Mays, and Dr. Julia Kostich. So they all helped me with this project, so I just wanted to acknowledge their work and efforts on this. And that's all that I have. Again, I'm now at the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, but I wanted to keep this University of Kentucky because that's where I was when I did this project. So.